Well, I guess we've got to throw this in here somewhere, so we'll start here. I always like to do good news, but sometimes we've just got to know what's going on. Federal action is really needed, folks, on the methane emissions, especially here in the state of Texas. Let me explain. The oil and natural gas deposits over in the Permian Basin are millennia older, of course, than the states, us and New Mexico, and those are the states that are sitting on top of it. The methane and other greenhouse gas emissions emanating from the not few, tens of thousands of wells in the Permian do not recognize political boundaries, folks. They just float wherever the winds take them. Those imaginary lines on the map, though, kind of make a considerable difference to operators of the wells. Texas and New Mexico's differing approaches to regulating the energy industry prove the importance to me and the necessity of Congress reinstating restrictions of methane leaks on a federal basis. Now, just like other Texans, I don't want the feds taking over everything we do, but when certain states are irresponsible, someone has to move in and correct it. To say that our state, Texas, takes a laissez-faire approach to methane emissions, if anything, is a really, really big understatement. Methane is the element of the natural gas that burns, giving off heat for generating electricity or cooking food. Right now, however, the problem is natural gas prices are so low and the cost of sealing up equipment can be so high that too many well operators either burn it off with flares or just let it leak out into the atmosphere. First, just for the information of knowing, the gas is far more heat-trapping than carbon dioxide and is responsible for about 25% of what we call climate change, whatever you want to call it. The Permian Basin is the nation's hot spot for methane leaks, and requiring the industry to plug them would go an awful long way towards slowing down the ever-changing climate. In contrast, for instance, New Mexico recognizes the economic value and the environmental importance of capturing that methane. In March, New Mexico's Oil Conservation Commission voted unanimously to require operators to capture 98% of natural gas emissions and barred them from venting or flaring except in actual emergencies. Chair Adrian Sandoval said the new regulations came after months of consultation with industry executives, environmental groups, and, of course, the public. The industry has until the end of 2026 to completely comply with these new rules. At least in the state of New Mexico, they do realize that 70% of oil and gas methane pollution in their state comes from nothing other than careless leaks that can be taken care of, saving the gas and certainly saving the air quality, just with a little bit of encouragement from the legal authorities. One more thing the new rules do that is very important to me is that they hold the company that's responsible accountable to clean up the mess they're making right now in the state of Texas. We just don't do that. Ironically, the world's largest oil and gas companies understand the urgency to take action. Oil giant BP, we all know them, pledged at least $1.3 billion just in the Permian Basin to cut emissions. Rystad Energy, another big company, found that 40% of future flaring could be avoided at no cost. Texans, sadly, the state itself is just hemming and hawing and dragging its rear as far as I'm concerned. 40 operators and 7 trade associations in Texas formed the Texas Methane and Flaring Coalition to end routine flaring, but they don't plan to even get started on it till about the year 2030. And here in Texas, they also expect the Texas Railroad Commission, which incidentally just uses that anachronistic name, to actually confuse the public about its actual mission to regulate energy. But they take no formal action to reduce greenhouse gases whatsoever. But here's the real crux of the problem, at least in the state of Texas. I live here, gosh. Railroad Commissioner Chair is a gal named Christy Craddock, more than happy to accommodate the industry that provides the bulk of her entire campaign funds when she runs for election every 6 years. Hey, you can't have the fox watching the hen house, folks. She openly opposes the proposed new rules on emissions and actually praised the previous administration for rolling back all of the federal regulations. Our air is half again as dirty as it was before they did that here in this state, and we live with it. I happen to have a place in Fort Davis, or did have, sold it recently, and a number of families around me moved out of the area because they had underlying lung problems, and it was getting so persistent in the area we lived in that they were having real health problems, and the state moved to do nothing about it. Chronic nearsighted view, myopic we might call it, is that Texas energy regulation is guided by free market principles and based on studies of the processes that ensure responsible Texas energy production, and doesn't say a single word about flaring, cleaning up the methane, anything. It's all bottom line dollars, especially when it goes into her pocket to keep her elected. In spite of what the Craddock, whatever her name is, Chrissy Craddock says, folks, keeping methane out of our atmosphere and in the pipes where they're supposed to be benefits everyone. As an aside that's not being considered here, controlling emissions from oil and gas infrastructure actually creates a bunch of jobs. More than 200 companies with over 750 locations across the country make the money helping drillers and operators keep the valuable product inside the pipes. That's according to research funded by the EDF, Environmental Defense Fund. In recent years, they've seen a range of operators from small independent companies to big multinationals that embrace methane reductions as a critical part of doing good business. It just makes sense that sensible methane standards that apply nationwide will even the playing field among operators and yield significant benefits to the economy and, of course, the environment. Folks, the world needs natural gas. I'm not asking them to shut down the natural gas business, at least for another decade or two, even if we're moving forward and getting cleaner and trying to green up our world, we still need natural gas. But only if we can limit the leaks and stop the routine flaring. New Mexico has done it very successfully. My feeling is if Texas won't do it on their own, then for your good and my good and the good of our little blue marble we live on, we need to take care of the problem now. The sooner, the better. So I guess that's my little piece of politics I'm going to do for this show. Now for a bit of a change of subject, let's move on to a study that I found that's really positive, but we have to take it in its content. It's an international team of authors from about 18 different institutions had just published a paper in the journal Nature, and if you're really into nature, it's one of the publications you should get, that offers a solution that addresses several of humanity's most pressing problems at the same time. This paper provides a comprehensive assessment of where strict ocean protections can contribute to a more abundant supply of healthy seafood, help address climate change, and protect embattled species and habitats all at once. What this study did was identify specific areas of the ocean that can provide all of these benefits if they were protected. Currently, about 7%, that's it, 7% of the ocean is under any kind of protection. According to the study, if the appropriate 30% of the ocean were protected by the actions of the relevant countries involved in the next 7 to 10 years or so, the cited benefits would certainly be realized. By trying to protect the appropriate 30% or so of our oceans and our waterways, we would be protecting nearly 80% of marine species while increasing overall worldwide fish catches by they estimate more than 9 million tons a year. It would also prevent the release of more than 1 billion tons of carbon dioxide, not good, folks, by protecting the seafloor from bottom trawling, which is really, really detrimental to our seas. And that is a widespread and destructive fishing practice that many of the more progressive countries have already started to make illegal. I'm not sure people realize that even now, but it used to be worse, we still take out hundreds of thousands of tons, millions of tons of garbage and dump it in the ocean off of our coast. They go further out now, still in the ocean. We have tons of barrels of nuclear waste sitting at the bottom of our oceans in a number of places that eventually are going to open up. It's inevitable. So we need to be more careful. Our ocean has been declining for worldwide. Right now, also overfishing, that's another story. Habitat destruction, back to trolling. And of course, the change of climate itself is not doing really our oceans a lot of good. The study pioneers a new way to identify the places that, if we protected them, will boost food production and safeguard marine life, while at the same time reducing carbon emissions that we do need to start taking care of. The study finds that countries with large national waters and large industrial trolling fisheries have the highest potential to contribute to our climate change mitigation by protecting the carbon stored on the ocean floor. It holds more than our forest, folks. The ocean does, in averages, covers about 70% of the Earth, and its importance in solving the challenges of our time, we've just been totally underestimating since we started using the oceans. I mean, forever, but we just thought it was an endless kind of giant hole. We could just dump everything in. In other words, we've been using our oceans as a giant sewer for few hundred years. But now that we know the importance of it, let's hope that studies like this will kick everybody in gear and we can reverse some of the problems that are bound to show up if we continue our current actions. Those of you who listen to me week after week, I did notice that I'm way up on my podcast numbers. I'm bragging, I guess. But I always say this at least once a week. Folks, this is the only aquarium we have. In the foreseeable future, as far as any of us will ever know, there is no other livable planet in our universe or anywhere else that we know of, although it's sort of infinite, who really knows, but we're not going to get there. We have to take care of it. We're approaching 8 billion of us. There's an interesting study that they claim, and I don't know where the number comes from, there's now more humans on Earth than there are rabbits. Think about that. There's more humans on Earth maybe than there are rats. And we all have to be fed, and we all have to have a certain amount of waste that we make, but we have to learn to be a lot more considerate to our little aquarium here we call Earth.